John, the first chapter. In the beginning, there was the Word. The Word was in God's presence, and the Word was God. The Word was present to God from the beginning. Through the Word, all things came into being, and apart from the Word, nothing came into being. In the Word was life, and that life was humanity's light. A light that shines in the darkness, a light that the darkness has never overtaken. Then came one named John, sent as an envoy from God, who came as a witness to testify to the light, so that through his testimony everyone might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came to testify about the light, the true light that illumines all humankind. The Word was coming into the world, was in the world, and though the world was made through the Word didn't recognize it. Though the Word came to its own realm, the Word's own people didn't accept it. Yet any who did accept the Word, who believed in that name, were empowered to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor urge of flesh, nor human will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and stayed for a little while among us. We saw the Word's glory, the favor and position a parent gives an only child, filled with grace, filled with truth. John testified by proclaiming, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'The one who comes after me ranks ahead of me, for this one existed before I did.' Of this one's fullness, we've all had a share, gift on top of gift. For while the law was given through Moses, the gift and the truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only begotten, ever at Abba's side, who has revealed God to us." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Beloved community, may the grace of the Christ child gather us in to listen to the Word of God. Amen. So, Merry Christmas. In the life of the church, it is still Christmas, at least until tomorrow, when we remember the arrival of the Magi to the infant Jesus on the Feast of Epiphany. For the upcoming Sundays between Epiphany and Ash Wednesday, our readings will invite us to consider Jesus as the light of the world, and they will encourage us to imagine how we might reflect that light. But for this day, we get to linger a little bit longer in the mystery of the Incarnation. Perhaps no other gospel invites us into that mystery like John's does. Luke and Matthew offer us details, the details that make up the stories we tell, shepherds and angels and Mary and Joseph's journey and how there was no room at the inn. And the Magi, who weren't kings at all, but they were astronomers and astrologers who studied the stars and had determined through them where they would find the infant Messiah. We get all of these details from Matthew and Luke, the details that go on our Christmas cards and that we remember when we set up our nativity sets and we move the Magi ever closer to the manger. But John gives us none of that. John's gospel opens with this gorgeous prologue, and we are launched into the mystery of the Word made flesh. In the world that we have gathered in today, there's not always a lot of room for mystery, unless you count "how did we get here" as more mystery than angst. Preachers everywhere long to be able to tell a word of God's faithfulness without having to elucidate humanity's fecklessness. I would love to come to this place and not have to raise up our sinfulness, our ongoing lust for power, which began in the garden and has never abated. I would love to stand before you and remind you that Jesus loves you because he does, and that we are God's beloved because we are. But I cannot tell you that without being reminded that some of God's beloveds do not enjoy the fullness of their belovedness from their neighbors or their families or even from the church. This week we receive news that the United Methodist Church has been unable to come to an agreement on whether or not our LGBTQ siblings are worthy, whether or not they are equal to the rest of humanity. And it would be easy to feel some measure of pride in the ELCA's ability to navigate that without a schism, until we recall our beloved Laura and the way she has been treated by this church. I want to be able to tell you that random violence is on its way out, that we are safe sitting in school or at the movies or in our cars or in places of worship, but I cannot tell you that. Instead, we pray for our Jewish siblings who are experiencing such hatred and violence against them. We pray for our children that when they go to school, they will not need to enact the safety measures of their active shooter drills. And we grieve with congregations reeling again from gun violence, even as I wonder how to protect you, my dear ones. The Word of God is clear on the necessity of naming the sin and brokenness in the world. And we who have the privilege of preaching are cowardly if we avoid naming that sin because it makes us uncomfortable and because people send us angry emails. So maybe the mystery for this day in the Christmas season is how we can preach, "In the beginning was the Word," to the world as it is today, on the brink of war, comfortable with entire continents on fire, accountability seemingly absent, violence raging, "Oh Lord, come quickly." Except, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God has been here since the very beginning, and God is the source of all life, and God is not going anywhere. The stories of God's people and of God are stories of the people wandering away time after time after time, and God always bringing them back. Now, not without their repentance and not without God's holding their sin before them, and not without lessons learned and then unlearned and then learned again, but God always and relentlessly searches after us in our wandering. Our first reading from the prophet Jeremiah today tells of just such an occasion. Israel has been in exile in Egypt. They've been there for so long that some of them know of nothing else. They are scattered to far-flung places, we are told, and yet none of them are out of God's capacity to find them and lead them home. God isn't just interested in bringing the strongest or the most capable or the most useful back either. The lame and the blind and the pregnant women all will be led home. They will be led beside water that will sustain them. They will be led on easy to navigate paths so they don't stumble along the way. in their wandering away from God and in their captivity and in the utter loss of their identity, God is faithfully bringing them back. Why wouldn't they weep with joy? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Like Israel and like God's people throughout time, we have wandered away. We have allowed children to be separated from their families. We have allowed unjust rulers and unfaithful shepherds to assume places of power and privilege where they have not worked for the dignity of all people. We have allowed and participated in the absolute pillaging of creation, and we have shrugged our shoulders when the world catches on fire. We have allowed people of color and women and the LGBTQ community and the poor to be pushed aside and bullied and ignored and oppressed. And this is nothing new. We didn't invent this. I want, with all of my heart, to offer you some comforting word about the joy of Christmas living on through the year, and I hope that it does. But we are here today with a mystery. The mystery of the Word made flesh, of God with us, Emmanuel. And that is the essence of the mystery. That in spite of an eternity of wandering away and being disobedient and failing to bear witness to the light of Christ, which is for all people, that God chose to come among us. I mean, surely God could have accomplished God's purposes with some other cosmic revelation. Surely God could have directed the celestial angel host to just shout at us from the heavens that we better get it together right now. But the incarnation, the presence of God, that is the mystery. Not the hows and the wheres and was she or wasn't she a virgin and was there really a barn or was it a cave and how many magi were there. We don't need those details to dwell in the mystery. The mystery is why God would come to such a broken people in such a broken world. And the answer is simple. Because God loves us, all of us, and all of creation so much that God has not and cannot and will not ever leave us. There's nothing we can do or leave undone that will separate us from God's love. And that's called grace. And it's not cheap. It requires of us that we co-create with God a world of justice for all people, a world where children are valued and safe, a world where differences are treasured and not feared, a world where all people are named beloved, a world where creation thrives, and a world where peace is the goal. This is the world we may not see until the next life, and it is the world we cannot stop believing is still possible. Merry Christmas, and let the church say, Amen.